Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. What happens if you take one of the world's most biting cartoonists and turn his strips into mini-movies? Well, for the makers of MyLittleFunny.com, they hope you end up with something that makes you think and makes you laugh. Local artist Matt Campbell is in the process of turning some of cartoon legend Kaz's strips into short movies. He joins us now.
Do you know why I pulled you over?
Because I'm drunk?
No.
Because I hate cops?
No.
Because you want to shoot me?
No.
Then what?
I didn't want you to miss that beautiful moon.
Matt, tell us a little bit about who the cartoonist Kaz is, if people may not know.
Sure. Kaz is about 50 years old. He's a cartoonist based in, he's from New York City. He's born and bred there, and he now lives in LA, but pretty much he lived in New York for most of his life. And he was a big part of the, probably came to fame, the most significant thing you could say is in the early 80s with Raw magazine, which was a pretty infamous comic out of New York, curated by Art Spiegelman, who is the writer of Mouse. So anyway, Kaz went to Art Spiegelman's art classes, comic classes at the School of Visual Arts, and became part of the Raw comic series. And he's been an underground cartoonist ever since. And he has a strip, the one that we actually are sourcing the material from, called Underworld, which runs weekly across America in all the independent newspapers, which in New York is things like the Village Voice or New York Press, and there's the LA Weekly. And basically every big city in the States has got one of those. And he's in, I think, current count about 15 of them.
So read by about how many people?
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue. Probably a bunch of millions.
Say a billion.
Say a billion, but I would say probably a million or so. You know, there's definitely a large readership.
And he's a very influential artist in that underground cartoonist realm, isn't he? He's quite a cynical look at the world, or quite a cutting look at the world. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I'd say so. What I think is interesting about his material, and which I really like, though, is that it's not just cynical. He always has a little cynicism, but it's also usually upbeat. And most of his work has a sort of transcends the cynicism and sort of goes, yeah, but you could look at that like this. Which, when we went into, looking at the work and the body of work, there's more than 950 strips we could choose from. So, because he's been doing this cartoon, this particular one, for it's about 18 years now. So when we looked at the material, we were sort of looking for, you know, what's the best material here and what is it about it that we really like? And we actually came up with Cute But Cynical, or Cynical But Cute. And that was sort of like, sad but fun, you know, like sort of sad but funny or whatever. That there was always that balance in the work. And so I think that cynical, but always with an upbeat and with a laugh.
And what you've actually done is you have now partnered up with them to take these strips and turn them into animations for the net. Tell me about that process.
Yeah, well, what we're really looking at trying to do, if you look at what his comic strip is, it's part of the classic heritage of four-panel comic strips that started way back with Dick Tracy and what have you. And he's always been sort of a classics guy who's like always kept to that four panel thing. And looking at, you know, the way that online media and mobile media is replacing, newspapers and, well, printed media, we sort of saw an opportunity to take those short cartoons and the sort of simple beat of them, the 1, 2, 3, 4, and transpose that onto, an online format, whether it's mobile or web. In a way that sort of almost updates the role of the four-panel cartoon strip into the modern times, which is media consumed through audiovisual devices.
Kaz obviously has, a fan base that are very devoted, dedicated, I suppose a cult following of a billion people. And so when is this like making a movie of someone's favorite books? people go, he doesn't sound like that. That's not supposed to work out that way. That, you know what I mean? It's, are you taking that risk?
Oh, absolutely. That is, he does have a really strong following, and it has been around for a long time. And, you know, now with Facebook, he's active on Facebook, and he posts his cartoons on Facebook now. So, and if you look at his Facebook page, you'll see that with any cartoon posting he does, he gets, you know, between 10 to 50 to 80 comments, depending on the strip and whatever. So there's definitely a lot of that out there, and it would be fair to say that the core of our mailing list come from his hardcore fans. And that's where I think we feel really great that we've actually really made them happy. All of the feedback, we haven't had one single comment from anybody saying, oh, that's not the way this is, or all the comments have been, wow, you've really captured this comic, I love it, give me more, you know.
Is part of that from what you bring to it is you also work as an artist and a creative director, so are you adding to what's already there to make this new product?
Sure. Absolutely there's a lot of things that have to change when you take it from a reading medium to a, you know, something that's speaking and moving. And we actually find that the timing changes, and some of the jokes have to be adapted and even have more details added to them or whatever. But I think that probably the reason that it's working is because I know Kaz really well. We're kind of good friends, probably best of friends. I know the world that he lives in really well. I've been a comic artist myself. I'm familiar with, you know, his work. I'm familiar with I just think we are in sync about what needs to be done with it. And anyway, he's involved with that process anyway, so we're always batting it around.
Is this why you decided to do it? Because you were previously best friends, you are best friends, and you said, hey, let's do this, let's make something exciting? Because you'd have
yeah.
to, you know, because presumably having a comic strip that's syndicated across America, he's doing okay from it.
Well, he doesn't do that great from it financially because they don't pay very well for those sorts of things.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, syndication of a comic strip doesn't add up to very much these days.
So I guess my question was why? Why would you do what you're doing?
Because I think, I guess I've been in the business of making sort of infotainment. I've done a lot of viral stuff in my life. I've been in the business of creating sort of content that's essentially advertising. Which, you know, is great, but I'd like to transcend from that into actually creating things that are actual content in of themselves.
Rather than ultimately soulless.
That's, well, yeah, basically. And I also realize that I want to work with people that I really like and that I really get on with. That's your life really, isn't it? The people that you spend your days with and, you know, and all that. And so I guess a couple of years ago that, it was sort of the turning point when I actually decided, yep, I'm going to put money into this, was when I realized I was doing too many things that I wasn't really interested in, that I didn't really love the people. And I thought, why don't I do something that I really believe in, where I really like and know the people, and build it out of that.
That's really cool. And what kind of numbers do you have to do to get this to work? Because obviously if you're investing in animating and hosting and all the rest of it, what does it have to do to work?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I don't think we know that really quantifiably right now. I think that it seems to be that you can, you know, once you get traffic on a website above 5,000, you can start selling that to niche marketing groups. We're looking at a cross-section of financial models, merchandising, maybe subscribership, maybe sponsorship with ads and those sorts of things, and also selling the content, licensing it to TV networks as short interstitial content. So really we're looking at a model where we're hoping a cross-section of those revenue streams will pay for it and sustain it and even make money.
Look, that's great, and thank you very much for coming in today. Really interesting to talk to you, and good luck with it. Hope it goes well for you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you to Matt Campbell. Head along to mylittlefunny.com to check out those animations. After the break, we speak to Night Choir.